Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Mark again, chapter 9, verses 14 through 29 is what we've been going off here. I don't know about you, but I've been really encouraged these past few weeks, you know, going over these messages. And I so totally agree with Pastor here because it is so true. What you begin to teach and preach about is what God has laid so dear in your heart. And I tell you what, I'm a simple-minded person, and but one thing that I appreciate is God's always speaking to me. And I appreciate the fact that he doesn't give up on me, and he wants me to learn from his word. And I tell you what, going through this, you know, basically I've titled this series of messages, Having a Closer Walk with Him, Having a Better Relationship with Him. It's helped my relationship with him. And because I've gotten more involved in this and seeing the importance of a relationship between a father and a relationship between a son and how he desires that. But there have been some times in our lives where we can admit where our relationship with God has never been what it should be. And I tell you this right now, my relationship with God should be better. I'll be the first one to admit it. I don't have a perfect relationship with him, and I will never claim that I have that perfect relationship with him. My relationship with him needs to be better. And with me saying that, you folks got to hold me accountable. And you would probably say the same thing. My relationship needs to be better with God, and I can hold you accountable with that in your area, in your life. But how do we get to that point in time in our lives to have a great relationship with him? Well, we've learned the last few weeks, it comes through prayer. And we need to really recognize the importance of having a powerful prayer life. Again, it's not about the words that you say, because some people, you know, I've been in prayer meetings before where they, you know, and I'm not making fun of people or things of that nature. Again, I'm a simple-minded person. Things don't come to me as good as the next person, but I, you know, I get in these prayers and I'm like, man, I wish I can pray like that. And, but God knows my heart. That's the important thing. God knows how I speak and how I think, and that's how he wants me to come to him. He wants me to come to him the way that I should, and we're going to see this in Scripture this morning. The last week we dealt with, well, how do we pray? Well, we are to come boldly before the throne of grace, and we looked at that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. And basically, when we talk about something like that, we need to have boldness to go before God. And we are not to go before God as a wimpy, pansy Christian, wimpy, pansy believer. We are to come to him with boldness because that's how he desires us to come to him. And again, that's his will in our life. And then I gave us three ways that we are to pray. And we went through these in the book of Luke, chapter number 11, verses 9 through 10. Three ways that we are to pray. One, we are to ask God. And we're going to deal with that again this morning. I thought I was going to get to the fasting part this morning. But unfortunately, I'm not going to say unfortunately, God is still having me go in this direction, and I'm excited about that. So we need to ask God. And when we ask God, we need to understand a few things. We need to be specific about some things. And I'm going to say this because this is so important. I remember I was working a few years ago, and I just I pray a lot as I'm going throughout my work day. That's what I do, and you folks might do that thing as well. It's something I've always practiced, and when something comes to my mind, I begin to pray about some things. And there was one particular day that I was, a thought came on my mind. I said, God, it'd be great if I found a $100 bill. And I kid you not, that thought came to my mind, and I prayed for that. Well, little did I know that God was going to answer my prayer, but not according to how I wanted to be answered it, but according to how he wanted to answer. I found a $100 bill. You know what I found? I found Monopoly money. It was a $100 bill. See, I say that for a reason. You know, we need to be specific when we're asking, because I just asked God for a $100 bill. I didn't ask for it to be real money, currency, that I can use to go out and purchase things. And God's got a sense of humor, amen? And so I picked that up, and I just laughed, and I said, thanks, God, for the reminder. And it's amazing. But we need to be specific in prayer. Again, God knows our hearts. There's no reason why we should not be specific to him. And I'm going to say some things that we need to be specific about. There are things in our lives that we deal with on a daily basis, and that's one. I'm going to get to this in a little bit, just reviewing here a little bit. We deal with temptation, and we fight battles that is beyond our minds. You fight a different battle than I fight my battles, and you have a different temptation than my temptation. But regardless of those things, we need to be specific when we're dealing with these things. We need to go to God and say specifically what we are struggling with and just say, hey, God, I need some help in this area. You know, I would say that's, You can pray that way, but why not be specific? I used that illustration last week, and I went to my mom, and I wanted this bike, the chrome bike and the mag wheels. And I went to her. I didn't say, "Mom, I need money to purchase something." I went to my mom specifically and asked for something specific. And later on, as I began to progress my asking and her probably getting tired of me asking, she gave in, and I was so thankful for that. And again, it came with me being specific in that area. And God wants us to be specific in our areas of going to Him. So when we ask, be specific. Two, we need to seek. And what do we need to seek? Well, we need to seek God's will. Well, how do we know if it's God's will? First of all, when it's not your will. That's the clearest answer that I can ever give anybody. When you're going against something that you want to do and you're giving into what God wants to do, be specific in seeking God's will. So often we pray for things and we go to God, and I hate to say it like this, but we treat God as if He's a Santa Claus figure. And we go to Him, "God, I want this, I want this, and I want that, and the other thing." And it's usually for our benefit, isn't it? But why not, when we seek God, ask God for His will and for His direction in our life in any way, shape, or form? And seek His will. And God will answer our prayers when it's according to His will. And he gives us many scriptures and those things. Third thing that we must do, we must knock. I was reminded again this week, I went to the door and I tapped on it. It was early in the morning. They couldn't hear me. You know, I was just tapping on the door. Then I finally like, "Hey, these folks need to hear me. They need to know there might be something going on in their house and I won't alarm them." And so I began to bang on that door. And they came to the door all mad, but you know what? They came to the door. Why? Because I was knocking. I was serious about entering into their house to get what I needed. I need to say, I wasn't breaking in. I didn't want to shut their water off, okay? So I begin to knock. Now you guys are thinking I'm a burglar in my day job, but I'm not. So we need to knock. So we pray, we ask, we seek, we knock. And so I begin to give some things. What do we pray for? I just mentioned this. One, we need to pray for deliverance from temptation. Two, we need to pray for wisdom. And I gave some verses in James chapter 1, verse number 5. Why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom to understand His word. I don't fully understand His word. Pastor doesn't fully understand His word. And he'll admit that. There's times where we think that we understand some things, and later on we'll go through it and we say, "Hey, wow, I didn't see that a year ago. God just showed me something new." And that happens because God's given us wisdom, because we're asking for wisdom. That's what James 1, verse 5 is all about, going to Him and asking for wisdom. And so we pray for deliverance from temptation. We pray for wisdom in our lives. And then we need to pray that we be obedient to Him. In James chapter 1, again, verse 22 through 25, we talked about being a doer of God's word. Okay, we just don't come in these four walls here and sit in our chairs and just become hearers. We got to take what we hear from God's word. The first thing we must do, first, we must apply it to our lives. And two, we must go out into the world and apply it out there as well. And so we need to be obedient to His word. And then I use an illustration. I won't use it again this week. But after we get done praying, have confidence that your Father will answer your prayers. I tell you what, when you see a prayer that you have specifically prayed for and God has answered that, does that not give you the confidence that God's going to answer more prayers in your life? It most certainly does. It gives me confidence more and more. Every time I go to Him and begin to ask for things in my life, I have more confidence going to Him. And I tell you what, that's a powerful word, and begin to think about that. There aren't too many things in this world that we can put confidence in. But we can definitely put confidence in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because why? Because He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. And so He's there for us at all times. And so have confidence in Him. And again, I close off, pray for yourself. So often we get caught up and we pray for everything else. We pray for our country. We pray for other people. We pray for certain situations. But then we forget to pray for ourselves. I tell you what, it's not about, let me be careful how I say this. I don't want you to get caught up and say it's all about me. But we need to take time and pray for ourselves, because that's so important. Because let's be honest, there are some folks out there that say, "Well, I'm going to pray for you." And they might forget to pray for you. And I'm thankful for people who pray for me. It's a powerful thing when you hear people praying for you. And it does something for you. But they might forget. But it's okay for you to take some time with God and begin to pray for yourself. Why? Because of these things that I just listed. And we need to do those things. again, no one else in here knows what you struggle with. No one else in here knows what I struggle with. And so we got to have that time for us as well. And so we need to take that in consideration. And again, be patient, never giving up on God, be consistent. And I closed off with prayer is a tool that God has given us to help us to develop a relationship with Him. I tell you what, that's pretty powerful when you begin to think that. God has given us tools so that our relationships with Him can build on a daily basis. And we might overlook prayer from time to time with these things, but I tell you what, prayer is such an intimate time, should be an intimate time with your Lord and Savior. And I tell you what, and we're going to see some things that take place here in God's Word that God has shown me here. Well, let's begin to, I'm going to go through this here real quick. Let's have a word of prayer and let's ask God to speak to our heart. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day that You've given us. Lord, I pray today that, again, Lord, we all need spoken to. Lord, we all have some things in our lives that might cause us to slip up from time to time. But so, Lord, I pray this morning, help us to see the need and the importance of praying to You. Lord, not just coming to You when we need things, but Lord, just coming to You because we desire to have a relationship with You. And so, Lord, today I pray You begin to speak to our hearts, and we ask You these things in Your name, amen. Again, in the book of Mark chapter 9, we've been going through this, and we read of a story, but I want to have you turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, just to kind of reiterate this story here. The book of Luke of chapter 9. And I'm going to read a couple passages here because you're going to see some similarities that are in here. And I got to find my verses here because I'm all out of whack. I'll get it here, don't worry. The book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 37 through 42. Something's not looking right to me and I'm in the wrong verse or the wrong chapter. Or I wrote something wrong down. Because that happens for me from time to time as well. And I did. And so I'm not going to take the... Oh, no, here I am. I'm right. I'm looking at something else. 37. I was looking at 27. Wow. All right. Pray for me, folks. All right. It says, and it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again. And bruising him, hardly departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And it was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered, every one at all these things which Jesus did, he said unto the disciples. Now you recognize this story? Because if you go back to the book of Mark, chapter 9, we read of this story. We see a different ending here, but if you go to the book of Mark, chapter 9, in verse number 5, or chapter 9, verse number 28, I'm not going to read the whole story here, but it says, and he said to them, verse 28, and when he was coming to the house, his disciple asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Again, that's going back to the story we just read in the book of Luke, chapter 9. It says, why could we not cast him out? And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now turn your Bibles to the Matthew, chapter 17. You're going to read a similar story here. Matter of fact, it's the same story, and hopefully you see the similarities here. Verses 14 through 21 here. It says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to stop right there real quick. How many of you have ever encountered a lunatic? I'm being serious with you. I have encountered a lunatic, and I tell you what, there is one in this town, and I will not tell you who he is or where he's at, but I see a lunatic about 2 days a week. I kid you not. And he scares the fire out of me. And I'm not saying this to make fun of him, but he has some serious issues. I see him up and down these streets in the town of Council Bluffs, and I see some things that he does that shows me that he is a lunatic. There will be nobody around him at times, and at times he'll sit there and just start talking, and he'll start cussing and saying things in such a derogatory way, and he's talking down to somebody, but nobody's there. And I sit there and begin to think to myself, that man is possessed. That man is a lunatic, and it's a very scary situation here. And so we see a different phrasing that's taking place here, because back in Mark chapter 9, they call him a dumb spirit, an unclean spirit. And now we see here it says, Lord, verse 15, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. And that's how that is closed out in the book of Mark of chapter 9, of verse number 25, where Jesus, again, stresses the importance of prayer and fasting to his disciples. And again, I probably won't get to the fasting part this week, hopefully next week. But again, we see in Scripture the importance of praying. And there are some certain things that we are to pray for. And I gave you a list of things that we are to pray for. But here, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter number 6, if you would, please. And I have a lot of verses that I'm going to try to cover this morning. If I don't get to these verses this morning, again, we'll go through it next week. I'm in no hurry, folks. Amen? I'm in no hurry to rush through this. So if the bell rings, you all can just walk up and get a drink of water and come back. But I really want to stress the importance of prayer, because not only did Jesus take praying seriously and he thought it was important in his life, we should as well. Well, how are we to pray? Again, I gave you some basic things of how we're to pray and some things that we are to pray for. But in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Why? It goes on and explains this. It says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So again, in verse number 5, Jesus is here talking, and he's telling us how we are to pray. And he says, don't pray like the hypocrites do, because the hypocrites, they're standing out in the streets, and they're wanting people to pay attention to them. They're wanting people to notice them and say, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. Okay, so they're praying this, but they're not really believing this, and they're not really following this. And so Jesus doesn't want us to fall into that category. And I would have to agree with him on this as well, because we don't want to pray as the hypocrites do. Again, let's go on. It says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse number 6, it says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Here are the hypocrites. They prayed to be seen of men. Their heart was not into it, and it was all a show to them. And now Jesus begins to show us where and how we are to direct our prayers. And Jesus, I'm going to say this, I'm going to show this to you in Scripture, that he practiced this very thing about entering into a closet. And it's not talking about a closet in our house. It's talking about having that private time with the Father. The Lord, Jesus, his Son, saw the importance of talking to his Father one-on-one. And he took those times very serious, and it became one of the most intimate times with his Father. Imagine how their relationship grew at this point in time. So Jesus, he gives us a direction. He says, go into your closet. You know, I'm not against public prayer or what do you call that word? It starts with a C. Corporate prayer. I'm not against those things. And those things are good. But there are some times in our lives where you and I as individuals need to go to our homes, wherever we're at, and we need to enter into that closet and have that one-on-one time with the Father. I tell you what, if you do that in your life, that's going to be so beneficial for you. And it's going to be a growing time for you. And you're going to be able to see things in a whole different way. And so he goes on and says, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father. So again, he's shown us, go into the closet, block everybody out. That's what I'm getting from this. Shut the door, pray to the Father. And then it goes on in here, it says, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, why does that take place? Because the Father knows your heart. The Father knew the hearts of the hypocrites. He knew their hearts. It wasn't real to them. But when you go to him, when nobody's around, when nobody's looking, when it's just you and it's just the Father, and you do it in secret, the Father is going to reward you openly. And those are some things that we need to really take to heart. Then it goes on in verse number 7. It says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. And again, a few weeks ago, I used an illustration with our school kids and how they begin to go through their prayer for lunch every single day. And I'm not bashing those prayers. Don't get me wrong on those things. But we need to not use those vain repetitions. One of the things that I've noticed when I listen to people pray, or even myself when I begin to pray, how many times do you enter in a conversation with the Lord and you keep saying, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, 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 Lord. Have you guys ever done those things? I was in a prayer meeting not long ago, and I kid you not, the guys prayed for about a minute and a half. During that minute and a half of prayer, he used the word Lord 72 times. 72 times. The Lord knows his name. How many of you have come up into a conversation with me within a minute and a half and used my name 72 times? It doesn't happen, does it? That right there, I believe, it could be an illustration of a vain repetition. The Lord knows his name, and he understands those things. But again, not to use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they should be heard for their much speaking. Then it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before he asks. So again, don't use vain repetition. Again, God knows the heart. Don't praise the hypocrites, and don't praise the heathen do. And again, the Father already knows the need. It says it right here in verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. How, I'm going to use a big word, how awesome is that? That we have a God that already knows the need before we even know or recognize we have that need. That's awesome, folks. Again, I'm simple-minded. I'm using a simple-minded word. But think about how powerful that is. And so because he already knows your need, all you have to do is go before him and ask of him. But there are some things that needs to take place in our lives. We just can't come to the Father and say, Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Father, I need these things and I need that thing. There are some things that we need to seriously consider when we go to him. First of all, I didn't write the scripture down. I forgot to write the scripture down. But we need to go to the Father with clean hands. Why is that important? Well, you look at scripture. Jesus knows no sin. Again, go to scripture. What did God the Father do to his son when he died upon the cross? Because Jesus took the sin, our sins, upon him. He became sin for us. Look at that picture. The Father, who's sitting in heaven, turned his back on his son because he had sin upon him. Did Jesus commit sin? No. But he took our sin. He became a curse for us. And because of that, their relationship at that point in time was severed. Because God knows no sin. And so we need to come to God with clean hands. So if you're going to God and you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking, don't forget to come to him with clean hands. You must ask God for forgiveness of the things that you have committed in your life during that week, during that day, during that month. Again, I don't know your sin. I don't want to know your sin. The Father knows your sins, and he just wants you to confess your sins to him. That's all that matters. You don't need to blab your sins to somebody else and brag about your sins. Take it to the Father. Have your Father cleanse you of your sins. Have your Father clean your hands, make them pure, and be able to go to him with boldness. Have him cleanse your hands and have yourself a pure heart. Those are some important things for us to understand when going to the Father. I never understood how important that was in my life until a man that I remember in this church, who sat in this church and who taught me for several years of his life. Every time that I began to hear this man speak, he began to pray, God, forgive me and forgive us of our sins. And I begin to sit there and think, why is he asking God to forgive us of our sins? He doesn't know my sins. God knows his sins. But he began prayer in that way. And that began to resonate to me and begin to show me, hey, I too must come to God with holy hands. We sit there and we question things. Well, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't God hearing my prayer? And people ask me, does God hear my prayers? And I will say this, God's not deaf, okay? God hears prayers, but there's a difference between hearing and answering your prayers. I get those things. But we sit there and we ask ourselves a question, why isn't God answering my prayer? Okay, well, maybe your relationship with him is tainted. Maybe you have some specific sins in your life that you have yet to confess to the Father. And those may be some sins that you don't even want to bring up because of the shame and the embarrassment in your life. But I tell you what, it will do you such a good thing in your life to have those things begin to reveal to you. And I say that because I have practiced that thing in my very life. I have prayed for things and I begin to ask, God, why aren't you answering this prayer? And it began to hit me. I go back to this gentleman praying this, and it began to hit me. God, I have yet to ask for forgiveness. And I've asked God, God, would you please reveal things to me that I don't even want to know, that I have yet to ask for forgiveness. And God has revealed those things to me. And I tell you what, when he reveals those things to me, I feel so ashamed. I feel so dirty. I feel so wicked. But I'm able, because of that, I'm able to bring this to my Heavenly Father, and I'm able to ask him for forgiveness. I tell you what, being delivered from those things are amazing. And I understand that when you ask God for forgiveness of sins, when you ask him to come to your heart, I understand he forgives your past, present, and future. But there's a difference between being forgiven. It's called sanctification, being sanctified along the way, where it begins to reveal these things to you. And it gives you such a weight off of your shoulders when you're able to come before God and these things with clean hands and a pure heart. And I tell you what, I'll never forget Mike Burgett teaching me that very lesson. He had no idea what he was doing to me. He had no idea how the Lord was ministering to my heart through that. But I can remember almost every time that he would pray, he would open up with those words. And those words still to this day resonate in my heart because I see and recognize the importance of having clean hands and a pure heart. You mean, Chad, you stand up here behind this pulpit and behind us and you begin to teach to us and you sit there and say that you have sin in your life? Yes, I have sin in my life. Everybody that's in this room has sin in their life. If you say that you don't, you're a liar. And that makes you a sinner. Amen? There's nobody perfect, folks. Nobody perfect. And I will never, ever claim to be perfect. I have too many people to show me how imperfect I am. And we'll get into more of this next week. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege and the ability to come before you and ask for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the importance of entering into our closet. Lord, I pray that you begin to bless in the next hour to come. Be with our pastor. Use him to speak to our hearts. In your name, amen.